It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And Joey makes the full house complete here today, as is becoming more and more usual. In fact, I just made sure that we get the intros up to date. So probably by next week, when we come back in, we'll all be included in it. How about that?
All right, full-time band member.
Yeah, yeah.
You got the promotion.
You know, there's an old saying, when you're paying the bills, you should get some credit. And from now on, you're going to. Anyway, I digress as usual. To all the regulars, thanks for always being there. Like I say, you show up, we show up. That's how it works, real simple. And if you're new to the show, found out about it either on purpose, by accident, referral, or whatever, then try to stick around for the hour, and I promise you'll learn something. And even more so than usual with all the things that are going on and with the year end in sight, this is a busy time of the year in our business, and it ought to be for your own personal lives too, because tax planning, although we say it is a year-round thing and we mean it, it gets particularly interesting at a time like this. So any little tips you can pick up is good. Market's been good. There's going to be some areas where people are going to have some gains. And there's some old nemesis things that are popping back called the AMT. It's going to influence more people than before. Don't even like saying those words, but it's kind of like Rosie O'Donnell. It tries to go away, but you just can't really quite get rid of it.
Okay. Random analogy.
It hit me this morning. I guess I hadn't had my second cup of coffee yet. Anyway, where was I? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Welcome to everybody. As usual, we will have a trivia question right after the first break. So lines are open at this point, 904-222-8255, where if you want to change what we're talking about, it's as easy as calling in and changing the subject, and we'll talk about what you want to do. So no excuses if you have something on your mind and we're not covering it. All right. The long national nightmare, the annual one, is over. October is in the rearview mirror.
Yep.
And it left us 100% certain that it has deserved its reputation as a volatile month. And it has also dispelled yet again the notion that it's a terrible month, because it wasn't.
No, not at all. In fact, it was a pretty good month. But first, I want to talk about the AI bubble, because you really can't turn on a financial news station right now without hearing talk about, are we in an AI bubble? And I'm not saying we're not, but I'm also definitely not going to declare that we are. Because first of all, if bubbles were this easy to predict, we would never be in one. Think about that. If everyone already knew, why would you be buying? It wouldn't happen. The other thing is, bubbles don't usually happen with a backdrop of companies beating earnings at a 78% rate, which is among the best in history this quarter so far, and revenues beating at a 74.8% rate, which is in the top 10% of all earnings seasons in history. On top of that, 11.3% of companies reporting have raised their forward guidance, and only 5.1% have cut. That's a huge spread between raises and cuts. That type of spread we haven't seen since the post-COVID crash days of mid-2020. So just to give you an idea of how unique that situation is, that's when everyone had cratered their forecasts because of COVID. And then all of a sudden people realized the world wasn't coming to an end. And suddenly companies were actually doing better than they were before, especially those that were online. That was a huge guidance raising time. And we're kind of matching that right now without the backdrop of having just crashed. So what I'm trying to say is that companies are making a lot of money right now, and that is what is propelling this market forward, not a bubble currently. Now, that doesn't mean it can't lead to one, because it definitely can. But I would say that the overall health of corporate America is very strong right now. And this isn't just tech companies either. Communication services and consumer staples actually have higher beat rates than the technology sector. So consumer staples, not exactly the area of the market that's been on fire this year, has a, think about that, it's got a higher beat rate than tech companies. So really strong fundamentals going into the end of the year. That's, and to me, that's pretty exciting and gives some justification to where we are valuation-wise. So all of the mega cap stocks have now reported, and it went pretty well. Amazon, I think Amazon had the best report despite saying that they were cutting 14,000 management jobs. In fact, I think those 14,000 management jobs probably needed to be cut. And the reason for that is they've tripled their workforce since 2018. As you might remember, over the last 4 or 5 years, it's been kind of a hiring spree just to keep up with demand and the lack of workers. So it's very possible that during this tripling of their workforce, they hired a few people who maybe weren't up to the average at Amazon. And I think now they're just kind of cleaning that out and going back to right-sizing their management team.
And for scope, they had 350,000 corporate jobs.
Right.
So we're talking about like 4%.
Yeah, it's not a big number.
No. Yeah, but flattening your management into fewer tiers is never a bad thing, the way I see it.
Yeah. So they were interviewing someone who worked at Amazon, and they said when he was saying that when he got hired, he was like 6 levels away from the CEO, Bezos, and now he was like 28 levels away from Bezos. So
he must be doing a terrible job.
Yeah. But his job hadn't changed. That was the weird part. The report from Amazon was so good that the stock jumped up 9.6% on Friday. They beat on revenue and earnings and raised their forward guidance. Apple also had a strong quarter with revenue in line with expectations and earnings that were higher than expected, but they raised their forward guidance by quite a bit, and the market really liked that. They said the fourth quarter is going to be pretty stellar. Overall, the S&P earnings are up about 7.3% versus last year, but if you exclude the Mag 7 stocks, that number falls to 6.1%, which is still a really big number. So, like I said, just fundamentals were good all around, and I'm pretty excited going into this quarter about where we sit. The week was a bit volatile, as Fed weeks usually are, but we did see the Fed cut rates for a second time in a row, another 25 basis points. However, they didn't guarantee a rate cut at the next meeting, which, in my opinion, they never should, because a lot can change between now and then. But the market didn't like that, and it caused the market to drop on Wednesday and Thursday before rising again on Friday. Now that we're out of October, perhaps we can change that and resume our volatility-free climb through the end of the year. I doubt it, but it would be nice.
Well, wish in one hand, as the old saying goes.
Exactly.
See what happens.
Yeah, I've got a bit more to wrap up after the break, but we're coming up on it.
All right. We have many things to talk about after that, but you know, it's that time of year again where I get to complain about all the COLAs that Uncle Sam applies to things and how unfair it is to regular old taxpayers. So I've got a few of them. They're holding out on some things, but they're starting to piecemeal it out despite the government shutdown, which is just another one of those things that I want to complain about. But yeah, you got another 45 minutes to listen, so why not? We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And we do have, as usual, trivia questions sponsored by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can get a hold of Paul at 904-636-7888. Residential, commercial, whatever your security needs. Okay, little snapshot of America right here. Americans say that if they had a net worth of $839,000, they would be financially comfortable. Okay, I'm just reporting what they said. I'm not reporting the truth of the matter, which we'll get around to. But what would make them feel financially wealthy? How much money? And it's, I'll give you a little hint. It's in 7 digits. That's the only hint you're going to get for a while. So get it within about $100,000, and you will be declared a winner. All right, that's it. Adam, we got a little more to wrap up on what really came out to be an excellent month, if you could stand the volatility, as usual.
Yeah, for the week, the S&P was up 0.7%, the Dow was up 0.8%, and the NASDAQ had a really nice week, up 2.2%. For the month, let's see here, we were up 2.5% on the Dow, 2.3% on the S&P, and 4.7% on the NASDAQ. So NASDAQ really just having a great year and a really strong month. At this point, the market is actually on track to potentially meet or even exceed the gains of last year if the current pace holds. Despite October being a bit more volatile than the last few months, we actually got off pretty easy this year. The maximum drawdown in October was just 3.16%, while the median for all October's maximum drawdown is actually 4.6%. So much less volatile than the normal October. It just felt high because we haven't seen any for since April, really.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking near all-time highs, too.
Yeah.
You'd think it's ripe for volatility.
Yeah, definitely.
Even the lowly small cap index, the Russell 2000, lost 1.4 in the week, but for the month, it's up 1.8. So, you know, it's nice to see a positive number on the little guys out there.
Yeah. We don't normally talk about politics on the show, but I did want to mention this just because it was interesting. There's several elections going on. Early voting is underway in several places. One of them is New York City. It's interesting because the leading candidate is, among other things, a socialist. And I did a little research and I found out that the top 1% of taxpayers in New York City pay 48% of all the taxes. So what happens if you tax those people out of the city? Your revenue, I mean, you stand to lose potentially half of your revenue. That's insane. That is a real danger that they are in right now.
Well, there are real estate agents in various parts of the world that are thanking Mamdani already. Yeah. One of them is South Florida. The other one is North New York.
Yeah.
And the other one is in New Jersey. Yeah, exactly. Now, if New Jersey gets its act together, and they're really thinking about this on Tuesday, and they get a decent governor in there, New Jersey could be in for the best couple of years in their history.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I just thought that was really interesting. Like, what is the actual contribution of the top 1% in New York? And these people saying that the rich don't pay any taxes. Well, actually, they pay half your taxes.
Well,
so,
but Adam, you heard
that.
Him. Anybody can afford to pay 2% more.
Anyone. So easy. Yeah. Well, on top of what is already one of the highest tax states in the country.
Yeah. It's absolutely ludicrous that people are listening to this guy and believing that there's something for nothing.
Well, there is one prediction or one of his promises I think he will fulfill, and that is to lower real estate prices in New York because of falling demand.
And you say glut?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. There's that.
Make the lipstick of the building like 50% off?
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah. I guess you'd call that an upside to it, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, that is what people say is driving this election is the affordability, rental, mostly affordability in New York.
Well, and it's easy to solve. You just freeze it.
Oh, yeah. That'll help.
Yeah. Then all those landlords will walk away, and then he can dominate the market by just taking those buildings and leasing them out.
Turning them into government-run grocery stores.
Exactly.
What could go wrong?
This is a plan developing. Yeah, you know, we've tried this before here and there around the world. And
a couple of times.
I don't remember it ever working out quite the way it looked on paper. Do you?
Yeah, no.
I was. We've talked about Gad Saad a couple times recently in the office, and he's a fascinating Canadian professor, knows more about American freedoms than probably most Americans do. And he was talking about a conversation he had with another expert on socialism, and he said, great idea, wrong species. It's like we're just not built for it. You know, we're going to try it over and over, but it's not our nature.
He's a character.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, enough of politics, although I promise you there will be politics in the market next week with a lot of big elections on the line. And if any of them go well for the conservative side, I think the market will really like that. I don't know what's going to happen.
I don't know. State-level elections don't usually – I don't see that driving the market.
It adds to volatility, but it doesn't really change the direction of anything.
Could hurt muni bonds in New York, but longer term.
That it could.
Definitely could. Oh, well, where do we go from here?
Well, it looks like we have a caller.
Let's go to the caller. The farm. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
How's everything?
Good morning. We had a great day with our cows yesterday.
It was
We found out the true value of our cows. You know, their cow prices are up.
Didn't know that.
As we talked, it might be the perfect timing, just because beef prices are on the hoof. Darn good right now.
Yeah, and they're trying to import beef from Argentina, and the farmers are insisting that it be labeled not from America. So,
I would think Argentina would want to put their own label on it, because Argentinian beef, I grew up in the 50s and 60s learning about places like that, and they were known for their beef.
Yeah, but American beef has gotten a lot better now, too, with the breeding, selective breeding, et cetera.
Yeah.
Hey, I missed Adams. I caught the 5.1% companies downgrading their forward earnings. What was the percentage of those upgrading?
It was 11.3%.
Okay, double that. Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing that I wanted to bring up, you know, you were talking, you allayed many of my fears about the AI bubble, but one of the things that I wanted to bring up, I listen during the day when I'm out on the tractor to all the talk show hosts, not necessarily the financial people, and all the talk show hosts are even talking about an AI bubble, which is, you know, that's crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. Once you listen to what you had to say about, you know, the earnings, corporate earnings, and that's really what's driving the market. So not necessarily the AI focus.
Well, that's how you know what's going to happen. You just listen to those guys and do the opposite.
That's exactly.
If you want to condense it, listen to Cramer and do the opposite.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, run in the opposite direction.
Exactly.
We're also hearing stuff about offices dispersing ahead of the change in New York. I guess North Carolina has picked up some financial offices, Texas and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Wall Street will disperse if things change in New York?
I think it's already happening, yeah.
The new stock exchange in Texas is picking up listings over and over and over. I think that'll just accelerate. I mean, where would you rather live? You know, if you're working on the street, I would go to Dallas, or I'd go to Florida. I'd go anywhere to get out of New York. No matter who gets elected. Imagine how much different it'll be if the wrong guy gets elected. I don't hesitate to say that it's almost a slam dunk that he will be. So,
yeah, but we're also hearing that property values are soaring in upper state New York as a result.
Yeah,
so.
I'm not surprised. But so far, there are over 300 hedge funds, private equity, and financial service firms in Palm Beach County, and 70 of those have relocated there from New York.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's huge.
And one from Chicago, the wealthiest man in Chicago, moved down to Palm Beach.
Wow.
And we
don't get that information on the radio. I mean, you know, we're getting it today on the radio, right. But I mean, normally during the week, you don't hear anything
It doesn't fit the narrative of most of those people.
Yep. They manage approximately $300 billion in assets out of South Florida now.
That's
wow.
Incredible.
Yep.
That's huge.
Well, it's going to be a pivotal year one way or the other for Wall Street.
Yeah. There's some underlying currents that, you know, can really drive things forward.
Meanwhile, all those naysayers, have they checked out the value of NVIDIA lately? The market cap? $5 trillion?
Yeah.
Dollars?
Well, that's why people get scared, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then there's one guy talking about that a lot of these AI companies are moving money back and forth between them to buy chips.
Yeah.
So,
and that is, there is something to that. And they are financing a lot of the growth with debt, which can be scary as well. It's really easy to make that case right now. Then you have to look at the whole
picture. The overall market, the earnings driving it.
It's all right. We've got a minute.
No, I think he was saying the overall market was being driven by earnings, but we kind of lost him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
There you are. You're back. Okay.
But Adam, I agree. There's some debt financing, but it's not bubble-like debt financing.
No,
we're in early phases of that. Like, I think we've got ways to go before it starts to feel like, okay.
Yeah. Bob, we got half a minute. You want to take a shot at the trivia?
I didn't hear it, guys. I was pulling a chicken out of the freezer.
Okay. The average net worth of Americans that say they're comfortable is $839,000. What would it take to make them financially wealthy, feel financially wealthy? And it's seven digits.
$839,000. $1.2 million?
Too low, but you're setting the bracket, and we appreciate it.
Okay. All right. Enjoy the show, guys. Bye.
Thanks for the call. All right, we'll pay a couple bills. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Banwee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Banwee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Banwee.
I'm Adam Banwee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And I remind everybody, the lines are open, 904-222-8255. And the trivia question remains, how much net worth would it require the average American to feel financially wealthy? And we know it's above $1.2 million. And, of course, you'll learn the value today of what the average person thinks, because it's pretty much wrong. Very far, hard to find an average person, isn't it? Well, anyway, it's that time of year again when they start releasing all their COLAs and increases and all this kind of stuff. And every year I go through the same thing. You'll see the blog in a week or so. It says, my annual COLA complaints. Because it is. It's always a complaint. Yet we pay these people to calculate the so-called cost of living or the inflation. And we all know they do a pathetic job. But what they do just as poorly as calculating it is applying it. You can make any kind of adjustment you want. The one that really hits me this year that I've never seen before is that they're raising tax brackets in two different steps. The lower two have one rate and the other ones have another rate. So therefore, when you make a little more money, your cost of living increase changes a little, or what possibly could be the logic in this thing. Another one, this one's a subtle one, they are raising the IRMA brackets. Now, those of you who've listened to the show a long time know IRMA means income-related monthly adjustment amounts. It's an amount that you pay extra for your Medicare B and D if you have it, or sometimes if you don't, based on your income. It is, ready for this, an income tax that they don't call an income tax, but that's what it is. They are,
it's more like a income penalty, I feel like.
Yeah.
Tomato, tomato.
Fair enough, but it's, yeah.
I love that they say income related, anything else.
Not induced or
it's specific. Income specific. It should be called the double Medicare tax. Second time.
Yeah, you paid for this once. Now you make too much money, you're going to pay for it again.
I had a little inspiration this morning, and it hit me that there's a fine line between stubborn and stupid. Want to know how fine? I looked up in the Webster's Collegiate Dictionary the two words. Stubborn is on page 1164. Stupid is on page 1165. And when you close the book, they touch. Now, if that is not the most useless piece of information you get this hour, I don't know what will be.
Okay, you're going to have to try hard to top that.
I guess so. Anyway, they're just nudging those IRMA brackets a little tiny bit. So if you make an extra couple of bucks, it's going to cost you again. And I detest the way they sneak these things in because they don't call it an income tax. And when they say the marginal tax rate, they're talking about 35, the top rate?
37.
37, yeah. Okay. Well, it's not, because guess what else is coming back? It never went away, but the alternative minimum tax for corporations, you all probably know, that went away in 2017. It did not go away for individuals. So it is a second tax system that requires everybody to basically do their taxes twice. Now, under the TCJA in 2017, the number of affected people dropped sharply. The biggest reason for that was the limit on state and local taxes, the SALT deduction. in order to find the alternative minimum tax income, you have to add back in your SALT deduction, the untaxed income or interest, I mean, things like that. So this year, because that SALT went up to up to and including 40,000 for some people, it's going to capture a lot more people in the alternative minimum tax, which goes up as high as even 42%. So that's another one that they're going to sneak around. Imagine what we pay to our various and sundry tax professionals to do our taxes every year. And imagine what part of that is doing them twice. Couldn't we just get around that? And, you know, it all started because somebody was mad at a couple hundred families who didn't pay enough income tax because what did they do? They adhered to the U.S. tax code.
Mm-hmm.
So what should you do? You should change the U.S. tax code. It only takes an act of Congress. But no, an act of Congress was much more complicated by inventing the alternative minimum tax. It didn't go away, didn't solve the problem, and it was set to hit about 7 million people this year. It's going to be a little bit less than that now that they've calculated it. But that's up from a couple hundred thousand.
Wow, that's a big
jump. So it's going to add millions of taxpayers into the alternative minimum tax rules. Now, if you want to see tax planning made even harder than it is, throw that one in there.
For sure.
And who does a lot of tax planning? People that make more money, people have more expenses. In other words, the target market for the AMT. So that's my little bit of tax bad news. I have other tax bad news and other tax good news and other types of bad news.
On that thought, before we leave that, you know, one of the things that we talk about, whether it's Medicare brackets or AMT and things like this, you know, so many people, I imagine a lot of listeners, give to their church, give to other organizations they care about. Whenever there's a moment like this where there's a broad tax break, but there's all these tax traps behind it, you really got to be careful for. It just escalates or elevates the value of being thoughtful about how you give. If you're going to give $100,000 or $10,000 or whatever it is, you know, giving it in a specific way after some tax planning can really make a material difference in your tax savings on top of the goodwill that you're already going to give.
You know, speaking of things like that, too, the new deduction for people 65 and over, $6,000 apiece, that is not dependent on how you file your taxes or anything, it is phased out. And it's phased out at a pretty low level, especially for a couple who both have incomes, RMDs, anything like that. So it's not as impactful as it would otherwise be. And I wish I would stop saying this. It did not eliminate tax on Social Security.
Yes, that really annoys me.
Me too. I believe in truth and labeling, and I'm just as adamant about it if it's Donald Trump or the Democrat Party. I don't care. I want it to be truth and labeling. It is an additional seniors tax deduction. Fine. It's not that I'm not willing to take it.
No, I like the deduction.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is not eliminating tax on Social Security. That's just a complete BS.
Nor would you want to. That's what bothers me. If you stop taxing Social Security, every penny Americans pay on their Social Security earnings is directed directly back into the system, which is already way too close to going broke. That would accelerate it. Mm-hmm. It seems like every time they discuss this whole problem, they get it exactly wrong. Everybody suggests things that are going to make the system go broke sooner, not later. What's the alternative to that? There's only one: tax the rich. They can't figure it out. And I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to do it. But, you know, I wish we would just do something once in a while that was transparent and made sense to the people. And the chances of that in Washington, D.C., goose egg. So just warning you about a few things. I'll have a lot more over the next couple of months about what gets passed and what doesn't get passed and how it's targeted to the wrong people, all that stuff. But that's what we've got for now, and it's not pretty in my book.
One of the best weapons, you know, when you're looking at these deductions and you think you're phasing out or you're about to be over Medicare or any of these other things, one of the best weapons that you have is – gifting highly appreciated stock, which I think in the current environment affects more people than other periods of time. You know, you have a lot of people who have huge gains in NVIDIA. You have a lot of people who have huge gains. And I mean, there's just a variety, any of these big tech stocks. And if your financial plan says, hey, I'm good, and you're planning to give anyway, just don't forget that you can gift appreciated stock, which helps you in two ways. One, it's like from a tax deduction perspective, it's the same as if you gave cash, right? So if you give $10,000 of appreciated stock versus $10,000 of cash, it's the same as far as calculating a tax deduction. But the thing it also does is it eliminates your need to pay capital gains tax on that appreciated stock as well. So there's a hidden tax benefit behind it. I think people forget about that.
Yeah, in fact, it even applies in a little different manner to people giving like their children or their grandchildren or something. They might want to give them cash, so they sell some stock and give the kid cash. Don't do it that way.
Right.
Give them the stock and let them sell it. Their tax bracket will either be zero or darn little. And yours is just gonna go up because of the sale. So tough one. Oh, Bosco, we got about a minute. Maybe let's set it up. Good morning, Bosco.
Good morning. How about that Amazon?
not a bad day, huh?
I agree, and it came just when I needed it.
Well, I'm glad
a bunch of it. You know,
I'm glad we could provide that.
Yeah, for most of the year, Amazon had been lagging behind the S&P up until recently.
Yep. So what's on your mind?
Exactly. I wanted to try $1.75 million. Let's put it that way.
All right, 1.75. Still a little low.
Wow.
My conclusion there is people aren't quite as dumb as they seem sometimes. Because you're not wealthy at 1.75 these days unless you got an awful lot of permanent income built into it. So I appreciate it, but we got to keep going. All right, we got to run. If anything else on your mind, I'll put you on hold through the break if you want to talk after.
No, I'm good to go. It's a good, good program again.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bosco.
No, thank you. Ciao.
Always fun. You never know when you're going to hear from him. All right, we got to take one more quick break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Lee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Lee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Lee.
I'm Madam Van Lee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And we remind everybody, the trivia question is still out there. How much net worth would the average American desire to feel financially wealthy? We know that it's above 1.75 million, and we don't know how much higher. So you want to take in and give it a shot? Just pick up the phone, and Mike already has. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's happening?
Well, what's happening, it'll probably be at 8 o'clock tonight. I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm a Dodger fan.
Oh yeah, that's a, yep.
Close one last night.
Yeah.
No, I used to be a Braves fan, too, but then they moved, and now I'm not.
Well, Freddie Freeman, I don't think they should ever let him go, but that's another story.
Yep.
I'm going to take a shot at the trivia.
Sure.
But before I do, I'm just going to mention something, and forgive me, it's not exactly financial, but earlier this week, Tommy Tuberville, who's a senator, I believe, and he was once the coach of Ole Miss at one time, and he gave a two-hour speech to an empty chamber of Congress about the threat of Muslim extremism, and he's not kidding. What's going on in Dearborn and other places, I think people should start being more aware, just for a personal opinion. And as a former New Yorker, where nobody's parents or grandparents in the 50s or 60s would have ever given this guy Mondami a second look.
Nope.
It's just like people have either drank the Kool-Aid or the devil is prevalent. Something's going on.
You are so right. All right, do you want to take a shootout of numbers?
I do. I'm going to, if what I read in Fortune magazine is correct, 2.3 million.
Fortune nailed it, or you did, or we did, or whatever.
Everybody nailed it. So let's do what you guys are very good at. Let's give it to charity.
You are a fine gentleman, and we will do exactly that.
Okay. Have a great weekend, gentlemen.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate the call.
I think Mike's the only caller that has a better batting average than Freddie Freeman.
Well, he's just an adamant reader. He's just always reading things and absorbing information. But he's got a memory that would certainly belie his age and most people's memories at any age. Mm-hmm. He has good recall, so it's always fun. And, you know, I've been doing this a long time. There's always a point to the trivia. There is a lot of range in what makes somebody actually wealthy or feel wealthy. $2.3 million is not a bad number. But if you are going to live off of that, you know, 4% of that, $90,000, that's not going to do it. So most people don't even know how to compute their net worth. And it starts with the value of all your tangible assets and your home, the unmortgaged part of your home and all that stuff. But there's also something that I call equivalent net worth that we talk about once in a while. When you've got a cash flow from something that's going to last a lifetime, meaning a pension, Social Security, anything like that, annuity, that's the same as having a pile of money. So if you've got one of those, just multiply your annual take by 25, and that's what a 4% withdrawal rate would give you. So it's very, very difficult to actually compute a reasonable, honest, and useful net worth. But at least my point for today is at least people are finally starting to get the idea that $100,000 isn't going to do it. And we've seen this way too often. People come in with a little bit of money and that quit my job and live happily ever after. $2.3 million is not a huge number, but it's a lot better than Americans used to do.
I think you made a great point in there. We have a fair number of clients who are like retired firefighters or retired military, and they've got, maybe not the biggest net worth because they never made top dollars compared to the private sector. But if you did that equivalent net worth calculation you're talking about, a lot of them are wealthier than a lot of the private sector clients we have. One in particular comes to mind. He's got, he certainly paid his dues and he's got full disability. It's like $4,000 or $5,000 tax free a month for life. I mean, that is worth over $1 million.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you put that into the net worth picture, some of these, young veterans who are in their late 30s, early 40s are actually quite wealthy in real terms.
My mom had that. She had an equivalent net worth of about $1 million. The difference between a real net worth and an equivalent net worth is when she dies, so did it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the downside. Yeah.
Poof.
That's a great point.
Smoke. Yeah, just point of interest, what is the net worth of most people in this country? And it actually peaks when you're between 70 and 74.
Yeah, right before you really start the drawdown phase.
But it peaks at $438,000.
So, I think we have a number of clients that have not substantially more than that and live very comfortably.
Yeah, sure.
But it all depends on how much Social Security you get. Is your house paid for? Do you mind driving used cars that are paid for? I mean, there's so many factors that go into this. But there are a lot of people that can live comfortably on $600,000 to $800,000 plus a couple of Social Security payments.
Absolutely.
So it's not like you have to have $2.3 million. It just really is about lifestyle.
Yeah, and along those same lines, here's an interesting one. Susie Orman managed to lay another egg. That's two in a couple of months.
She's been doing that more and more lately.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, I know that she's not young anymore, but she's not crazy. But she's just forgetting some of the lessons she learned so well along the way. And she personally is very wealthy, as you know. Very wealthy.
Very, yeah.
And although she can't seem to quite put her finger on it all. But she says about annuities. Somebody says, might it make sense to buy an annuity with some of her $7,000, not her, Susie, a 50-year-old client, in taxable brokerage assets for tax purposes and income? And Susie replies, no, because it never makes sense for tax purposes. Well, that's funny. I thought when you bought an annuity that was going to pay you later, it was tax deferred the whole time.
Yeah, there are times that makes sense. It's not my favorite planning tool, but there are times to use it.
And there is never in financial planning that I know of, or at least very few. We could probably invent a couple, but she's, I don't know what's getting into her, but you know, I just thought I'd pass it along. Nothing personal. The only reason I bring it up at all is I've spent years and years and years following Susie, and she was one of the first people I ever started reading, and I've agreed with her something in the 90s percentage-wise of everything I've ever heard her say. But lately, as I said, she laid 2 eggs in 2 months, so I don't know.
And anyway. It's a lot easier to sell absolutes when you have a podium that large. You should never, blah, blah, you know, fill in the blank. It's pretty much it's really not a good.
That's an inherent risk of giving advice to
a broad audience.
Masses. Yeah. When people ask me something, I always remind them and say, you can ask me anything you want, but I'm going to answer it with a question. And then another one.
Yeah, but I guess you're right, though. Like on her pulpit, it's if you're talking about the average person, should I put money in a 401k or a deferred annuity? Obviously the 401k.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, Dave Ramsey has, you know, massive platform, has to do the similar thing.
Yeah.
And over time I've come to have a softer stance on his approach to things. Like I think it makes sense for who he's talking to and what he's trying to do.
Right.
Is it ever a bad idea to pay down your house? I mean, sometimes there could be better options available to you, but nobody's going to look back and say, I really wish I hadn't decided to fully own my house. It's, you know, so.
Once you pay off your house, you don't have to leave it paid off either.
Right. You can always make it a...
Speaking of equivalent net worth, you can turn your house into a cash flow stream real easily.
Yeah, these days you can. Again, another tool that is something you could fit in a financial plan, but it shouldn't be the... I think if it were Susie Orman answering the question, no, she would probably say, no, you should never do that. But there are lots of reasons why you should do it. It's just for the right situation.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people as they get older, one of them's talking to you. You're talking to one of them. Paying it off makes no economic sense, but it starts to get more comfortable feeling every day. So there'll come a time, I'm sure, but not yet. Excuse me. All right, there's $2 trillion out there in unclaimed 401ks, and there are ways for you to get them. And if you think there's anything out there that you don't find or that you can't find or can't remember, and even if you don't think so, there's a retirement savings lost and found database at the government. Just Google that and it'll pop right up. Just check. You know, not everybody has to forget money, but $2 trillion in forgotten 401ks? It's sad, people. Come on, get on. Nobody's going to take care of you any better than you do. Speaking of which, 401ks, our generous government is probably going to give us another $500 for our 401k deferrals. And so far, the word has come down. You know how much they're raising the IRA donations?
It's zero.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, of course.
How can you go through what we've been going through inflation-wise and come up with a stupid number like zero for 401k or for IRAs? They're already way behind the company-sponsored system.
They're just too attached to attractive round numbers. Like, make it 8250, if that's what makes sense. Let people, that 250 matters.
You know, I've got a million old sayings, as you know, and one of them is, no one has ever paid a tax professional to compute their taxes. You pay a tax professional to compute your taxable income and plug it in. A computer does that for you.
Right.
Now, getting to the taxable income, that is a big deal. And that's why you pay these people. So just something to remember. Anybody can calculate their own taxes, but you better be right about what you're taxing and how you're taxing it. So, all right, well, those are fun things to think about toward the end of the year. We'll be on the tax thing real hard for the next several weeks, I'm sure, because of the year end coming. All right, well, have a good day. We'll see you next time at the exact same place. Thanks for listening. This is